Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. I'm here this morning with Dr. Michael Costanza, assistant professor of surgery at Upstate, and we're talking about vascular diseases, aneurysms, all kinds of things, and screening for those. Welcome back, Dr. Costanza.
Thanks.
All right, so as we took the break, we were talking about the screenings. You mentioned that aneurysms were something else you were finding. I want to talk just for a minute. I want to go back. One of the things that occurred to me as we were wading through the news was we talked about these things occurring in your legs, but they're peripheral. Why don't they occur in your arms?
Well, the legs are the most common place that this problem occurs, but it can occur in the arms. In the arms, we don't typically see patients with symptoms as much because we have a lot of backup blood supply in our arms. So even if you had a blockage in your arms, you have so many other branches of the blood vessels that go down to the hand and the forearm that you probably wouldn't have symptoms. So,
I see.
So it's very rare that we would have to treat somebody for arm problems in terms of their circulation.
So if I understand correctly, you might have pain in your legs that might indicate that you have a problem. You probably won't have pain in your arms, but aren't there a lot of people that have this that really don't have any symptoms at all?
That's right. A lot of people don't have any symptoms, but they do have some degree of narrowing or blockage. And it's important to identify those people, not because we can improve their walking, but because it does identify them as a cardiovascular risk group. And they may need to take other measures, such as being on certain medications, to reduce their overall cardiovascular risk.
Right. And that goes back to the fact that this kind of thing indicates that you are at risk for a heart attack or a stroke or
exactly.
something else.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit more about those risk factors, because if I can't feel like I've got this problem, then I need to know that I'm at risk and therefore need to talk about being screened for it, right?
Right.
You mentioned smoking was one of the risk factors. So why smoking?
Well, smoking is by far the most important risk factor. And, you know, when we smoke, a lot of bad things happen. But in terms of the blood vessels, it creates a situation where the lining of the blood vessels becomes reactive to cholesterol and other things in the blood that causes it to build up these plaques, mm-hmm. which can narrow the blood vessel and actually completely block it. And if you look at all the risk factors in terms of the progression of hardening of the arteries, smoking is by far the most important. Usually what I tell people is if they smoke, if they can do just one thing to reduce their risk, it's to quit smoking.
Quit smoking, which of course they're being told all the time. And you know, what about people who maybe smoked when they were younger and then quit smoking, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Are they still at risk in the same way?
Well, they're not as at risk as someone who's currently smoking. And your risk definitely goes down, but it's still having that history does put you in a higher risk group compared to somebody who's never smoked.
So, of course, that message is it's never too late to stop smoking,
that's
which
right.
they're hearing all the time. All right. You also mentioned diabetes is one of the risk factors. What makes that riskier than another?
When in diabetes, as you know, we don't process the sugar as well in terms of not having insulin work as well. Mm-hmm. And having that higher sugar levels does also create that reaction in the blood vessel walls that makes them more prone to narrowing. And so if you have diabetes, controlling your sugar as closely as possible is very important in terms of reducing your risk.
Mm-hmm. And so if you control your sugar, then maybe you're at less risk then for PAD or
definitely.
Of these others?
And they can, you know, your doctor, your physician can tell how well you're controlling your sugar by various lab tests, which will
right.
actually show over time how well you've done. And so that is a definite risk factor.
And one of the things I read about the screenings is that diabetes patients, it's recommended that they be screened a little bit earlier, like at age 50, whereas somebody who is just normally aging and maybe isn't a smoker either would wait until age 60. Is that something you also recommend?
Yeah, exactly. Diabetes, it definitely, you know, speeds up the whole overall process. And so we tend to have diabetics who are younger with more advanced disease. So I do recommend screening at an earlier age for diabetics.
And of course, we have talked before in other interviews before you were here about that association between diabetes and heart disease. So I could see how all of that fits together.
Exactly.
Now, we talked about some of the treatments and you talked about just giving people exercises and asking them to walk some extra. You also talked about a drug that's now available. And yes, I think that's what we see the TV commercials for. But suppose neither one of those works.
Right. We do have other ways of treating this problem, and there are minimally invasive ways where we actually will do a needle puncture of a blood vessel and try to go through the area of narrowing or blockage with very small catheters or wires.
A needle puncture. Now, when I picture that, when you first say that, I think you're going in through my arm and you're going to puncture something. That's not what you're talking about.
Usually, we puncture the blood vessel in the leg, right where your leg bends near your hip.
You do. So you do go in through the skin?
Exactly.
And you puncture right through?
Right.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then usually with these very small catheters and wires, we're able to negotiate through the area of narrowing and use very small balloons or stents to open up the areas of narrowing. And that immediately improves the blood flow and usually makes a big difference in terms of people's symptoms.
Is that angioplasty? Is that what you're talking about?
When we use a balloon on a blood vessel, we call it angioplasty. And then sometimes if the balloon isn't quite good enough or the narrowing comes back right away, then we use a stent to keep the blood vessel open.
You do. Okay. So, and that holds it open, and then presumably you're not going to have a blockage right there.
Right,
anytime
exactly.
in the future. All right. What about other options? Suppose that really doesn't, it might slow things down or it maybe speed things up a little bit, but
right.
are there other options as well?
In people with severe disease who are at risk for losing their leg if they don't improve their blood flow, then we do have surgical options where we usually will do a bypass around the area of blockage, usually using the patient's own blood vessel taken from another part of the body or sometimes with an artificial blood vessel to improve the blood flow. We usually do that, like I said, in limb salvage attempts. For people that just have some difficulty walking, it's not usually recommended because it is a major surgery with all the risks of surgery.
You said limb salvage, so that indicates to me that if that doesn't work, then you have to move toward amputation?
That's right. In severe cases of PAD, the blood supply can be so affected that there's not enough blood for the tissue to remain living. And if that happens, then gangrene or dead tissue can set in. And if you don't improve the blood flow in those cases, then an amputation will be the ultimate result.
So now, for all of those people who have had so much trouble quitting smoking, to hear that that's the extreme, maybe that would be some kind of an impetus for them. Are there other ways of treating this? I mean, you said there's a drug. Are there new drugs on the horizon, for instance, that you think might be even more promising?
Well, I think the next step is to find drugs that will prevent this from occurring.
To begin with.
Exactly. Yeah. Not so much to make it go away, because we've never found a medication that makes the plaques or the hardening go away. But we are finding with the cholesterol-lowering medicines especially that they have other effects other than just affecting the cholesterol, and they actually make people at less risk for developing this problem in their arteries and slowing the progression of disease. So I think that's going to be the next horizon.
So you're talking about the statin drugs that people
are
prescribed?
That's right, the statin drugs. Right.
So if I'm understanding correctly, then keeping your cholesterol down can also prevent you from getting this in general?
That's right. Cholesterol definitely is a risk factor. But even beyond cholesterol, the statins have other effects on the blood vessel walls that makes them less prone to develop these plaques and narrowings. And when we treat a patient, keeping the patient on cholesterol-lowering medicine seems to prevent the disease from coming back as quickly.
So I hear from people who complain about statin drugs. They complain that, sometimes they hurt from them, or, there are all kinds of side effects that they've talked about. But if I understand what you're saying, it isn't just that those statin drugs keep the cholesterol down. Now you're talking about some other benefits that maybe they're not even thinking about. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, these other benefits have a lot to do with inflammation, and inflammation is one of the primary processes whereby these vessels become narrow. And the statins, in addition to their cholesterol-lowering properties, seem to have some anti-inflammatory effects that will prevent this process from happening. So we call these pleiotropic effects, meaning that they're effects that are different from their cholesterol-lowering, and more research is being done on that. And I think it's one of the more exciting areas of drug research right now.
So it's kind of a side effect, but it's not a side effect that somebody would be necessarily aware of.
That's right.
So they're going to their doctor. Their doctor's saying, I want you to take this statin because it will lower your cholesterol. They decide that it's not doing enough for them lowering their cholesterol. They shouldn't be thinking they should get off the statins just for that one fact.
That's right. I think that's what we're discovering, is that they're more multidimensional than just the cholesterol-lowering medicine. And I think in the future, we'll actually have indications beyond cholesterol for these medicines, but that research is still being done.
Interesting. All right, now I'm going to shift gears almost completely. You were here several months ago, I think maybe a year ago. We talked about varicose veins. How does all this relate to varicose veins, or doesn't it?
Well, it's really a separate process from varicose veins. You know, varicose veins tend to occur in younger people, and they don't really have an association with cardiovascular risk or cholesterol or smoking. They're more common in people that have a family history and things like that. So they're really two separate diseases and two separate groups that they affect.
Are they dangerous in the same way?
Varicose veins aren't dangerous in the way that PAD is, but varicose veins' main problem is that they cause discomfort, and most people, especially people that are active, and young people tend to be more active, you know, they have problems with having pain and tenderness in the veins, and that's why they usually seek treatment for them.
So where can listeners get more information?
Well, they can call us at Upstate at 464-1800, and there's also a website called vascularweb.org that has a lot of patient-oriented information.
That's great, and we'll make sure we put links from our HealthLink On Air website as well. Well, Dr. Michael Costanza, thank you so much for coming by this morning. This has been fascinating.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And listeners, we are going to take a break. This is Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.